Good morning. Hello. Hello, 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 hello. How low can you go? All righty. Welcome, each and everyone. Hi, Evie. Oh, yay. Okay. She's going to play with the dog. She's going to sit on the dog. Okay. Welcome, each and everyone. Tom, do you know the gentleman to your left there? Of course he is. He's an implant. This would be Charlie. And Charlie, I think I missed your last name. Patton? Are you sure? Patton. Charlie Patton. Yeah, where's your tank? Okay, then. That's all right. You can stay then. As long as it's an EN. All right, and the girls are here with Brooke this morning, all the girls. And hi, Aiden. And Colton, yes. I was looking to see if Ryan was there, but no, just okay. All righty, and back there with Adrian. Adrian, welcome back. It's been a little while. And she's got her friend Chris Poole with her. Some of you probably know some pools in the area. And so anyway, welcome this morning. Jimbo and Brittany are here. Next Sunday, we are going to have a special dedication for Bennett. Next Sunday. So we look forward to that. And you guys are all, yeah. Jamelyn, is this your third Sunday here in a row? Have I lost you? I think so too. Welcome, Jamelyn. Okay, got to be careful with her. So. Alrighty, did I miss anyone else? Who has a colored bulletin insert? If you got a bulletin insert, Bible reading thing, no. Tomas. Okay. Hey, I'm going to start calling you Tomas. Is that okay? Thomas, Tomas, Tomas, Tomas. One of my favorite hors d'oeuvres is Tomas. Get it? Tomas. Moss in the toes, hors d'oeuvre. Wow. How long are we going to have to put up with this, Anita? not much longer. Okay. So anyway, you've got one. Who else? There should be another one. Whoa, Chris, congratulations. Are you lying, Adrian? Okay, it is there. You're extra special today, Chris. All right. Love and appreciate you both. Okay, well, I think we've done that. Let's see what we've got for upcoming events. If Kathy can quit distracting Anita, and then, no, I'm just teasing. What do we got? Bible study, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. Last week we got through how many verses? Two more verses? Yeah, we're really on a roll here, so we're still in John 3. Ooh, 15, getting close.
We're going back for a review, though.
Oh, are you? Okay, we'll see about that. 6 o'clock Wednesday night, Thursday night, church council meeting. We're all on board for that, church council, okay. Planning on that. And then, next Sunday, Brother Hollis. Now, this is a much better picture than that one when he's like that. We got Kathy in here, so Brother Hollis will be delivering the message next week. Keep him in your prayers. Looking forward to that. Also next Sunday, our monthly food and fellowship fair. Do not forget, bring food, be ready to eat and fellowship. Okay? And then in 2 weeks from today will be Palm Sunday, so we'll be celebrating specially in a special way that way. And Thursday, April the 1st, that's 2 weeks from, well, forget it, just April the 1st. Passover meal and the sign-up sheet on the table back there. So be sure, we need to know how many are going to be here for the Passover meal. And then, of course, April the 4th will be our Resurrection Sunday special celebration. We're not going to tell you what's going on. Some of you are starting to get ready for it already anyway. So look forward to that. Is there anything else? Is that it? I think that's it. I do have one other announcement. That is... She's not here this morning yet. Julie Miller, that you know, And she requests prayer often for her mother, Nida. Nida is in need of some kind of home health care, someone who can come 2 or 3 hours a couple times a week and willing to pay like $15 an hour. So if that's something you're interested in, let me know, and we'll get you connected with Julie and Nida, okay? All righty, anything else? If not, front of your bulletin depicts the Lamb there, Revelation chapter 5. It says, "And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your love. Thank you again for the freedom to come into your house today to celebrate you, to worship you, to lift you high, and to give you the worship that you alone are worthy of. You are the Lamb, the eternal Lamb, and we praise you, Lord. We bow down before you today with thanksgiving, and we open our hearts to what you desire to accomplish in us and through us in this hour and the rest of the day. We give you praise for it in your Son's name. Amen. Stand and greet someone you haven't had a chance to yet. Come on, what do you think you're doing in the front row? You're too used to being in the front row. What do you got there? 8. You're back there. You're with her. Here comes Kathy. She belongs there. Who else? Must be another one. Are we missing someone? 3.
4.
5. You got it? Okay. My bad. Good enough. Okay. For those of you who are new, sorry for the craziness. But just to warn you, it's not anything unusual. It's like this every Sunday, right? And we like it that way because we know God likes it that way. All right. Get up and leave, Jimbo. He must have. He needs a pen. He's got to get a pen. All righty. So here again, I hate to have to review this, but for our new ones, our theme this year, if you didn't notice on the front of the bulletin, is Meeking Jesus number one in 2021. Real quickly, meeking is being meek. It's putting together, making and keeping, right? It becomes meeking. And when we're meek, we put Jesus number one and he stays there. Good enough? We've been looking at pictures of Jesus in the Old Testament as we go along. So far, we've looked at the Word of the Word from the creation, the Word that created all things. And then we looked at Jesus being the ark and his arky arms and anchor. And who's the screaming child back there? Little Bennett, Jimmy Jr. By the way, Aiden told on you, Dwayne. He said, "Uncle D doesn't have any money." He told on you. That means you have to put in double next week. That was great. "Uncle D doesn't have any money." All right, so we're looking at, now we come to the third major picture of Jesus in the Old Testament. That would be through Abraham and his sacrifice of Isaac on the altar, which we're going to call Abraham. Oh, it's up there. All righty. Abraham's Laram. Okay, Laram. It could have been Ram, Lamb, Lamb, Ram, Laram. Does that work? However you want to say it, it's there. Okay, let's look at it. Going to be more of God's Word this morning and less of me. That's good too, right? Okay, so let's get into it. It begins with Abraham's availability. Alan, you've got Genesis 22:1, please.
"Sometime later, God tested Abraham, said to him, 'Abraham, here I am,' he replied."
That's all you get. Right there. God calls Abraham. What's Abraham say? "Here I am." It's like he's waiting for God to talk to him. And so he can say, "Here I am." What's our response to the Lord when he first speaks to us? Or when we're going through maybe some challenging times, do we really want the Lord calling on us or not? Are we ready to go, "Here I am"? Abraham's the first example of this. Jacob, Moses, Samuel, Isaiah, we could go on and on. Other people the Lord spoke to and they said, "Here I am." Who else did that? I think I said that. But anyway, I'm looking for somebody else. Huh? Got Isaiah. Go on down the line. Who also said it? Who are we meeking? Number one. Okay. Let's look at it in Hebrews chapter 10.
Therefore, when Jesus came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God.
Aren't we thankful Jesus said, here I am. Here I am. Yeah, I've come to do your will. He had to say, here I am as well. He had a choice. He actually had a choice. And we know how he struggled with it in the garden and all of that. But he was one. He's the picture. He's the perfect example of this. We see this picture in what the story of Abraham. So we go on in the story. Next we see Jesus in, secondly, Abraham's resurrection reasoning. Is that word spelled right? I got to make sure because you remember last week she tricked me on one of those words and we don't want to go back there. So we see this resurrection reasoning as we continue the story in Genesis 22.
Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place of God that had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you.
This is one of my favorite statements in all of the Bible. Abraham says, you stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back. Now, there's some resurrection reasoning for you. If you don't catch it, the writer of Hebrews reflects on this resurrection reasoning of Abraham's in Hebrews chapter 11.
By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death.
Isn't that beautiful? Abraham had faith. He believed in God. God had told him, Isaac is your son that I will use to pass on, and the promises will be fulfilled through Isaac. Now God's telling him to go sacrifice Isaac. Okay, God. He's reasoning in his mind what the possibilities were. We will go and we will return. Who else had resurrection reasoning? Come on, you should know this by now. Okay, this foreshadowed Jesus' own resurrection reasoning. John chapter 2, 19 and following.
Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. They replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of was his own body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken.
Jesus knew. I mean, he knew. Did he need to have faith to reason that resurrection? He probably had a little more of an inside track than what Abraham had had, but we see the picture of Jesus' resurrection reasoning in Abraham's resurrection reasoning. Abraham then reaffirms this resurrection reasoning when Isaac asks him about where's the lamb to be sacrificed in verses 6 through 8 as we continue the story.
Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together.
God himself will provide the lamb. This resurrection reasoning, he doesn't know how it's exactly going to happen, but he knows God is going to provide for the lamb. We'll get on to this provision a little bit later. But when they get to the place there that God had told him about, Abraham then demonstrated the continuing availability through his altar availability. Are we still available at the altar? When we get there is the question, Genesis 22, 9 through 11.
When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied.
Here I am at the altar. Now we might be available at the beginning when God first calls and says, are you available? Oh yeah, yeah, I'm available. As we get closer to the altar, the place of sacrifice, the place of really challenging our faith, are we still available? Are we still saying, here I am? It gets a little tougher as you get closer to the altar, doesn't it? Is your all on the altar? Well, that'd be a good question to ask this morning. We should have sung that hymn. Maybe we can do that again sometime. All right. So the follow-through, the continuing to be available, is what really becomes the challenge for us. How about Jesus? Did that happen with him? We'll see. James later states that this is the very basis for Abraham being considered righteous and a friend of God. James chapter 2.
Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he said. And the scripture was fulfilled.
Time out. Sorry. Complete by what he what?
By what he did.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Just a little different. Just a little. Sorry. Okay.
And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.
Do you want to be called God's friend? You got to be available at the altar. Not just available when it's easy. Got to be available at the altar. Because Abraham believed and followed through and was there at the altar, he was considered righteous because of that. We can make the profession all day long, but if we don't follow through, if we're not actually there, if we're not doing it instead of saying it, said, did, big difference between said and did, then we're not going to be considered righteous. We're not going to be a friend of God. Man, I want to be a friend of God more than anything. This brings us next to Abraham's proving provision. The angel continues in verses 12 through 14.
Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided.
He called the place, the Lord will provide. And he named the place for what he had believed and trusted in, and that God would indeed provide. On the mountain of the Lord it would provide it. Bigger than all my mountains, bigger than all my fears. You want to sing that song, don't you? Yes. God is bigger than all of that. Bigger than asking someone to sacrifice their one and only son. God makes provision. He has provision for us when he tests us in that place. He's the one that provides. Paul summarizes God's provision for us. Then, of course, through Jesus, the Lamb of God in Romans 5:17.
For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ?
God's abundant provision of grace through whom? Through Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the provider. He's the proof of God's love and His grace and His mercy. Jesus is the proving provision. As a result of Abraham's obedience, then, God promises him his obedience offspring. Obedience offspring. The angel continues in verses 15 through 18.
The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me.
Because you have obeyed me, then I will give you these offspring, descendants, offspring. He continues on and on. The nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Obedience is where it's at. Oftentimes, almost all every Sunday when we're ready to dismiss, I pray that we will be sensitive to the Spirit's leading and obedient. And obedient. That's where it's at. Surrender, obedience, not real positive, favorable words in today's society. But if you want to be a friend of God, those are favorite words. Surrender and obedience. Paul then declares the fulfillment of this promise through Jesus in the first Peter. Get it straight. It's Peter. First message after Pentecost, Acts chapter 3.
But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways.
God fulfills his promise to Abraham through Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment, the Messiah, the servant that he raised up. And so the picture of Abraham with Isaac and offering him is a clear picture of who Jesus is. Was going to be, was, still is, hopefully in our lives. Paul echoes this fulfillment then in Romans chapter 4.
Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offering be. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, it was credited to him, were not written for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead.
Alma, I don't know if you caught it or not, but against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed beyond hope, where you live. Couldn't help but make the connection there. You know, there's a lot of hope going on here. And then there's paradise. And Alma lives up there beyond hope. You live in paradise? No, Paradise, Montana. Okay, I'm sorry you have to lead me astray here. Here's the thing about paradise, okay? When we were pastoring in Kalispell, oftentimes in state church work, I would go to Plains, which is next to Paradise in Montana there. Some of you don't know that. To pick up the pastor in Plains, and we would go travel somewhere. Usually go through Paradise down the river toward Missoula. Well, so I pointed out to Roy, this pastor, I said, you know, I get to this intersection, and I can take a left or a right. I can go to left to Paradise, or I can go right to the other place. Get it? Okay, plains is not paradise. But anyway, okay, sorry about that. It's your fault. You led us astray here. We're going to get back on track here, which is that Abraham had hope. Beyond hope, he had hope. Even when there wasn't hope, he had hope. And because of that, he was blessed with all these offspring, but they come only through Jesus. Jesus fulfills the promise of Abraham. So finally, along with Abraham, we celebrate Abraham's Laram Lord, okay? And as you know, Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would be slain as a lamb and would be led to the slaughter, as it were. John the Baptist then declares about Jesus what? Did I give you the scripture to read? John 1. Alma, please.
The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God."
Yeah, you know, that's the modern version, which is okay. I like to go back to the King James on that one. Behold, right? You're that kind of guy. You would rather say behold than look. Look is okay, but it's kind of like, look, okay, look. Behold, to me, is like deeper. Keep your eyes on him and really take it in. Huh? Am I wrong? Behold the Lamb of God. What? Okay. Yes. Good. Right on. Okay, so we're beholding the Lamb, the Lamb of God here. And John the Revelator had the privilege of passing on what God had revealed to him concerning this Lamb, Lord, in Revelation 5, beginning.
Then I saw a Lamb looking as it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth.
Just real quickly, why did the Lamb have seven eyes and seven horns, seven spirits? Why? Perfect. He was the perfect Lamb of God. The writer of Hebrews said, because he suffered, when he suffered, he was made perfect so that he would be the perfect Lamb of God. He is perfect. Okay. Those surrounding the Lamb, Lord, then go on to say in Revelation 5:12.
In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength, honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praised and honor and glory and power forever and ever."
And they all said, "Amen." So let's go back here a little bit. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive, count with me, power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and, huh? How many do we end up with? Well, imagine that. I wonder why that is the case. All these good things that the Lamb alone is worthy of to receive, it just adds up to perfection again. Just a coincidence, one of those quinky-dinky things in the Bible. All right, let's finish it off there.
After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb."
Wayne, I wish you could get into it a little bit more. You're just a little too sedate, too quiet. Bless you. Bless you. That's good. Hopefully we'll have that same enthusiasm and really want to shout it out, give praises to the Lamb with all that we are. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want him to start over? No, I've had enough of Wayne today. No. Let's not lose focus again, huh? You're tempting me here. The Lamb, the great multitude. Are we going to be a part of that? Do you want to be a part of that forever and ever? Because in Philippians chapter 2, it says that Jesus was obedient to the point of death. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. We're going to go back to that because here again. It applies to our lives and our hearts again. So we see Jesus as the picture painted in this sacrifice of Abraham and Isaac. We see it clearly. What's our place in there? We put ourselves in the place of Abraham. Are we going to also be available all the way to the altar? Are we going to put our all on the altar? Are we going to believe that God provides, that there is a resurrection possibility in our lives, that the lamb, the lamb that was provided is the perfect lamb and the only one who really is able to be sacrificed in our place? We can't do it ourselves. We have to surrender ourselves to Him, receive His sacrifice for us. I had this thought for the first time. If you put the lion and the lamb together, what might you get? Huh? It's in here. Well, I'm not sure, Wayne. Let me just suggest something to you. You might not think that's all that, but lion and the lamb, ram. I don't know. I mean, the ram is a little more than a lamb, right? Isn't it? Ram is kind of male with the seven horns, maybe. Maybe the ram had seven horns that was in the thicket. I don't know. Just a suggestion. That was ram the door. Okay, we can get off track real easy here. Just my suggestion. If you've got the lion and the lamb as one on the throne, it's a ram. Okay, it's a tougher lamb. He alone is worthy of our praise. This is the picture we get from Abraham, and we want to put ourselves in that. And our response this morning is going to be, "Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in your precious blood, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God." That's my response. I invite you to join me in that response as we stand together to sing, "O Lamb of God." As always, the altar is open if you desire to pray here.
Thank you.
Father, we lay our all on the altar this morning, gladly, with thanksgiving, for the privilege to do so. Thank you that your Spirit enables our weak and oftentimes hesitant, unwilling spirits to be laid down at the altar of sacrifice. Thank you that you were the perfect Lamb, and you were willing, and you were available to the point of death. Therefore, you are exalted to the highest place and called the Lamb of God. Thank you that we can be lambs of God as well, to be led by the Good Shepherd because of your love, because of your grace, your mercy, your sacrifice. It's all because of you. Help us to never forget that. Help us to continually be thankful and to continually surrender our lives to you, to be obedient as you lead us, to be able to receive all that you offer to us and promise to us. You are faithful and true. We're not. And oftentimes we live so far short of our privilege because of that. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us anew. Wash us anew in your precious blood. Fill us with your Spirit to enable us to be that, to receive your life, your very life in us, to live through us, to be a blessing to others, to point them to you as we lift you high, exalted in our lives. Thank you, Father, for not only the privilege to be your children, but to also automatically become part of your family and to share this love together, to be able to love on each other and encourage each other. In our moments of weakness, you provide someone who's strong to encourage us. And sometimes we get to fill that place as well. And so, again, we just continually offer ourselves to you. We give you praise for your faithfulness and your goodness, answers to prayer that we have remarked on a little bit already this morning for Mike and Frida. We just pray your continued blessing for them. Thank you for what you're doing in both of them through this time. We thank you that Dawn hopefully will be going home this afternoon, that she's improving, and we just pray that that will continue, that you will give her the healing, the renewed health and strength, energy that she needs. We pray the same for Sue, that you will continue to grant her healing on her knee. And thankful that she is continuing to trust in you and give you praise for what you're doing in her and through her and her whole family. Again, we rejoice in little Colton and how well he's doing. Lord, we can go on and on in answered prayers this morning, and pray your continued blessing for Dee and Beth Ann, others that we've been lifting up to you. For Libby, thank you for her improvement. We pray your full healing health for her as well. Thank you, Lord, that you're listening to each one this morning and receiving other expressions of praise and petition from your people.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.